Let's check in now on the coronavirus. One of the most mysterious parts of this virus is just how fast it's spreading. There's now 74,000 cases in mainland China, and more than 2,000 people have died from it. And while China says the number of new cases is tapering off, some experts believe the spread of the virus is just getting started. For more, we have with us now Dr. Michael Osterholm, director of the Center for Infectious Disease Research and Policy at the University of Minnesota. He's also written several books on killer germs. Doctor, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
So, Doctor, first, we're now several weeks into the spread of this strain of coronavirus. Based on what you know about the spread of this virus, what do you make of China's claim that the rate of new cases is slowing down? Do you think we're at a turning point?
Actually, we're only in the very first days of this outbreak, and we have many more months to go. We are expecting fully that this could reemerge back in China. So the leveling off of cases doesn't at all give us an indication they're done with it. The second thing is this virus, which spreads like influenza virus, which I have likened to trying to stop the wind, is now throughout the rest of the world. And we are in many countries around the world, in like Wuhan was in those early days of December, where it was 2, 4, 8, 16, 32 cases with each new generation of transmission. And so we wouldn't expect to see most of the world really demonstrating a severe problem until probably the next 3 or 4 weeks. The final piece of this is that we don't really know how many people are infected. We have many areas of total, you might say, virus blackout, where there's no testing available, or if it is, it's very limited. We could see a major rebound in cases in China just in a few short weeks.
Oh, wow.
Many of the cases will be mild to almost asymptomatic, up to 80% of the cases. The challenge we have here, though, is it's going to infect a lot more people because, like influenza, as you've seen, whether it be the cruise ship or hospital, look at this, over 1,700 healthcare workers in China have been infected just caring for patients. That gives you a sense of how infectious this is.
Can I ask you a little bit more about those doctors and nurses who seem to be getting infected and then also dying? I mean, we just saw this other prominent doctor who was a chief at a hospital in Wuhan who has died. He's the 8th healthcare worker to die of this disease so far. And they're not what we really think to be folks who would be susceptible to dying from a virus like, say, the flu. They're younger. We don't know of any underlying medical conditions. What could be the reason for that?
Well, first of all, you have to understand everyone is vulnerable to dying from this virus, whether you're a young child to an elderly person with underlying health conditions. The rate of those severe illnesses and deaths is much higher in the older population. But as you saw, the original 34-year-old physician who was the one who really first pinpointed this problem and put it on the internet at the end of December also has died. Again, no underlying health condition. So I think these two physicians, the 34-year-old one and the 51-year-old you just mentioned, actually do demonstrate that this is a very serious illness and affecting all ages.
A few years ago, you created a 9-point strategy on how to address and prevent infectious diseases like a global flu pandemic. How would your strategy play out in this case? I'm just astounded by what you're saying, that in the next few weeks, we might see this spread and be more severe in other parts of the world?
Well, unfortunately, the book you're referring to and published in 2017, Deadliest Enemies, Our War Against Killer Germs, actually chapter 13 happened to be on coronaviruses, and the title of that chapter was SARS and MERS, A Harbinger of Things to Come. So, you know, many of us in this business obviously realize new infectious agents are going to emerge, but this one should have been no surprise to us. In 2009, when H1N1 emerged, the pandemic strain that we had that year, we actually saw in the first month that the virus was in at least 47 different countries after it was first discovered. Move that fast. Today, we're at 26 countries with this virus. And the reason we're not at 47 or more is because the vast majority of the countries in the world can't even test for it. If they could have, I would tell you we have a repeat of what we saw in 2009. And in that sense, we can expect this virus to move around the world. And I don't know what would make it change from how it's operating in China than it would in any other country of the world.
Doctor, with all of what you're saying, how does this end? Is there any way that we can take some sort of precautions to not see what you're expecting that we see?
Well, first of all, we have to protect our healthcare workers. They are the soldiers on the front line against this bug. If we don't, we will see what's happening in China, where we'll see so many healthcare workers go from critical key providers of care to someone who desperately needs care. That's the biggest challenge we have right now. And one of the problems is the fact that no one has money in the healthcare systems today around the world to invest in stockpiles of masks, the kind of respirators you need, the kinds of suits you need to effectively provide this care and protect the healthcare workers. This is coming. I really believe that we're going to see much more of it around the world. And the best thing we can do is prepare our healthcare system.
Dr. Osterholm, an infectious disease expert at the University of Minnesota. Doctor, thank you so much.
Thank you.